thing, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, we're going to flip the drummer one and walk that wind.
It is time for the Border News Roundup. Friday mornings, we get a chance to check in with Marshall Helmberger, the editor and publisher of The Timberjay. It's a newspaper serving northeastern Minnesota. Marshall, good to talk to you. Thanks for being here.
Oh, happy to be here, Heidi.
Well, you've got a lot of mining stories to tell us about, but let's start off with not a mining story, but it's about white gold.
Yes. Hey, this snowstorm, we are very, very excited about this recent storm that came through. We picked up, anywhere from 8 to 10 inches across northern St. Louis County and Lake County and, you know, Couchiching County. And that was welcome snow, believe me. We were kind of limited. We had about maybe 8 inches on the ground. So this has really helped, and this is going to ramp up the winter recreation big time. You know, and it's just amazing what a difference snow makes here in the winter. You know, I know by this weekend we're going to see lots of people out on snowmobiles, snowshoes, dog sleds, skis. It makes a big difference to the area economy. The restaurants, the bars, the hotels, they're all busy once we get this snow. So this is really good news, and I think after this all gets groomed up, I suspect the snowmobile trails and the ski trails are going to be in really good shape up here, and that's good news.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's move into some of the mining stories you've been covering. First, PolyMet and the DNR draft permit. Tell us what that means and what's going on.
Yeah, well, this is a major development in this project. Of course, this project has been going on for seems like decades. But this is a significant milestone. The DNR last Friday, issued a draft permit to mine. Now, the PolyMet project will require almost 24 different permits, but the permit to mine is kind of the big one that the DNR would issue, and this, you know, basically lays out kind of how the mine's going to operate, and it also includes the financial assurance component. So this is a big one. It's not anywhere near a done deal, though. You know, this is a draft permit, like I said. The public's going to have a chance to weigh in on this proposed permit. There's a 60-day public comment period that ends March 6th. And the DNR is also planning to hold two public hearings, one on February 7th at Mesabi East High School in Aurora, and then one on February 8th at the DEC in Duluth. They'll be having kind of open houses for people to get more information, and then they'll be having a public comment session in the evening from 6 to 9 p.m. Both of those days. You know, essentially, the story that people are paying the most attention to, of course, is probably the financial assurance component of this. And under this draft permit, PolyMet would have to agree to put up $544 million in financial assurance for the first year of mining. Now, this wouldn't be, you know, cash. Some of it would be cash, but a pretty small percentage. A lot of it would be forms of, you know, letters of credit or surety bonds, things like that. And obviously, PolyMet has to agree to do this, but that's considered pretty likely since the document was prepared in close consultation with PolyMet representatives. And then over time, the amount of financial assurance would increase because as they do more mining, the need, you know, the cost of mitigation would increase over time. And so by about the midpoint of the 20-year project, the financial assurance number would rise to about $1 billion. So, you know, they're putting up quite a bit more than what the company had originally proposed, and the DNR had kind of come back and said, we don't think that's enough. So I guess they're pretty close there. As far as other permits, the biggest one is still kind of sitting out there, the Section 404 permit, which is issued by the Army Corps of Engineers. And this thing has been in limbo for many years. And the Army Corps has also yet to issue a record of decision on that final environmental impact statement. And this was completed back in 2016. And the Forest Service issued a record of decision on that, saying that they found it to be adequate. The Army Corps has not done that yet. So that still all has to be done, and then they have to finalize this wetlands permit. Nobody knows how long that's going to take. It could be years. But all of the other permitting that's going to be required here is likely to take many months, if not years still, even at this point. I mean, the draft permit to mine, the time frame to convert that to a final permit to mine could easily be a year. And then, of course, there's still the possibility of litigation, things like that. And then there's some financial issues as well. You know, there's a lot of questions about the financial ability of PolyMet to bring off this project. It's an expensive project, no doubt. I mean, the last financial projections released by the company put the construction cost at $650 million, but that was a decade ago. Well, you know, by the time you adjust for inflation, it's probably going to be up closer to $750,000, and then you have to add financial assurance on top of that. And, you know, it's going to be a big number whether or not they're going to be able to find the investment capital out there to bring this project forward remains to be seen. So we're going to be following it closely. This has been a story I think we've been covering for close to 20 years, if you can believe it. And it's probably going to be a few more years before we're actually looking at a possible mine here. I would mention, though, that investors appear to be encouraged by the release of the draft permit. I know PolyMet stock took a big jump up over $1 a share here earlier this week.
How many jobs does PolyMet say this would add?
Well, the numbers have changed a little bit over the years. It depends a little bit on whether they do all of the processing on site. The numbers have varied between about 300 and 360.
Well, let's move on to another mining story you've been covering, this time on MINPAC and the MPCA.
Right. Well, the Pollution Control Agency is proposing to deny a request by U.S. Steel for a variance that would have exempted the company's tailings basin, the MINTAC tailings basin, from several of the state's water quality standards. And, you know, we had talked, I think, last fall that the MPCA had issued a new draft permit for the MINTAC tailings basin, and this was the first permit that draft permit anyway that they had issued in over 25 years. The current permit expired actually in 1992, and the MPCA has been trying to bring the company under a new permit since then. It's been facing a lot of difficulty in doing that, a fair amount of it political, and remains to be seen whether or not they're going to be allowed to deny this variance request by MINTAC, which they're currently proposing to do. They're going to be taking public comments on their proposal to deny the variance at a public hearing set for January 23rd, and that's a Tuesday, and that's at the Mountain Iron Community Center from 4 to 6 p.m. My guess is they're going to hear from lots of folks telling them they should issue this variance. The problem is if they issue the variance, they might as well not even bother with a new permit, since the variance would exempt the company from current regulations on a long list of different pollutants, including sulfates, which, of course, have been a big issue, total dissolved solids, bicarbonate, specific conductants, and other types of pollutant criteria. It remains to be seen, I guess, what they do. The MPCA is arguing that the permit that they're planning to issue for MINTAC already includes, you know, schedules of compliance. So, I mean, they know they won't be in compliance with the permit from day one. So, you know, it provides a time frame for them to come into compliance, and they think that's sufficient to address the company's concerns here.
All right, Marshall, before we go, another story about Vermilion Gold. That's the name of the company, is that right?
It is, and it's funny, they spell Vermilion wrong, which I kind of find irritating. They use two L's rather than the one L, which is the appropriate spelling. But anyway, it's a company based in Minnesota, and they're one of a handful of companies that's doing a significant amount of prospecting for gold right now in kind of western St. Louis County and northeastern Itasca County and southern Coochaching County. There's an area of greenstone, which is contiguous with a greenstone framework or structure that goes all the way up into northwestern Ontario. And within other parts of that greenstone belt, their companies have found fairly substantial deposits of gold. A number of them have actually turned into working mines. And so these prospectors are working on kind of the western end of that belt of greenstone to see if they can't find some economically viable deposits of gold. So that'll be interesting to follow. It's been actually going on for several years, but it really seems to have ramped up. And now Vermilion Gold has just recently requested to lease several thousand additional acres, kind of in the area just west of Cook, about maybe 8 miles west of Cook, and then also an area kind of just west of Side Lake and south of Deer Lake. So those are some of the areas they're looking to intensify their drilling efforts in hopes of finding some gold. So we'll be following this. We've been following it for a while, but this was kind of an interesting new development. It certainly appears that there's increasing interest in what they're finding there.
That is Marshall Hellenberger. This has been the Border News Roundup. Marshall, thanks for talking with us. We'll check in next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, Heidi.
Thanks. You're listening to the Friday Morning Show.
As we move the program on, a warm welcome for the gender thing in Cornershop.